There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to The Delicious Podcast with me, Julie Smith, and our series featuring a whole shelf of the new cookbooks out this autumn. The series is sponsored by my favourite online bookshop, hive.co.uk, which supports the High Street, giving commission to your local bookseller every time you check out. Hive is all about giving the independents a little help in the competitive world of online retail and getting you back on the High Street. You can get your book by post, but Hive gives you the option to pop into your bookshop to pick it up, browse a little and chat to real people for a change. Check out Hive's Facebook page and Twitter at Hive Stores to keep up with offers, news and reviews. And I'll give you the code at the end of the podcast to get your 10% discount. This week, I'm with food writer and YouTube star Donal Skian, whose new book, Superfood in Minutes, is all about simple and delicious ideas for a more plant-based diet. I asked him why he feels he's nailed tofu and chosen what he calls veg-forward cooking.
I think it's something I've always quite naturally done, you know, and I think, I suppose now is it's quite timely of, you know, people are really taking an interest in the sort of ingredients they're using in the recipe. So it's always been something that I've been mindful of in the recipes that I create. But I do think that this book is really honing in on that and putting a focus on it. So yeah, it's been a really fun book to do because it kind of challenges you to use veg in a different way, you know, and I think there is that sort of turning point now where we are looking to kind of including a lot more veg in our diets and less meat, and if we do include meat, a more high quality meat that we're going to use. So,
and that's the whole point, isn't it? Yeah. It's hashtag less but better.
Yes, yes.
So it's high welfare meat wherever you can get it, really good quality fish, trying to get back to the High Street and getting all the good stuff. But actually on a weekday, you know, go plant-based.
Absolutely,
it's
absolutely.
So,
and like,
easy.
We talked about, I mean, one of the recipes in the book, the chickpea pasta with cauliflower bolognese, like, there's things, I'm a food lover, as I'm sure, as are you,
yes.
And I think there's been a kind of a trend towards healthy eating, which kind of takes away flavour being at the core of it. And for me, you know, when I develop recipes, I want to make recipes and create recipes in a book that are somewhat selfish because I want to cook them myself, you know, I want to cook them myself. And they're part of our day-to-day routine at home, you know, with we've a 1.5-year-old. So we do want recipes that really are purposeful.
So tell me about that. You're at home, you're living in America now, and we'll
yes.
talk a lot more about that because I think that's fascinating. 1.5-year-old. Old Noah at home,
yes.
Sophie and Bumpy. I like
and
the way
Bumpy.
That you call him Bumpy.
I know.
Do you know it's boy or girl yet?
We do, but I have to keep it top secret.
Oh, how exciting.
Yes, yes.
But you do say, like so many families, it's really hard
yeah.
to actually get everybody's needs met without lots and lots of stress. And having a very young family, we all know,
yes.
can be very
can you see consuming. How can you see the bags under the eyes? That's not just the jet lag.
But in terms of creating taste,
mm-hmm.
now that's always the thing in the past that has taken time.
Yes.
So let's use this example of this chickpea pasta with cauliflower
mm-hmm.
bolognese, because bolognese speaks taste and smell to me.
Yeah.
How have you done that with a very vegan thing, where there's no meat at all?
I think you look at cauliflower as an ingredient, and it has that moment where it's been quite timely, and you know, people are using it in so many different ways now that they never did before. And I think the moments of like things like cauliflower pizza, kind of people have made them and realized actually they're not up to much. I had one
not
in one cookbook,
flavor.
And I would use it again, but you know, you kind of need things like goat's cheese to really give it kind of substance and for it to cook out. But but my go-to with cauliflower, and I think there's steps like that and stages like that where, you know, we'd be blitzing cauliflower through a food processor and then having to squeeze out the liquid, like that's too fussy for me. You know, when I'm coming home in from work and I have to come in and cook the dinner, I'm not wanting to do that. But I would say, like, but the beauty of this is something that I've discovered in the process of creating this recipe, is that box grater cauliflower and you have cauliflower rice in seconds. So it's a fantastic one. So in terms of like the meatiness and the flavor profile of it, you look at bolognese and it's this rich, meaty sort of flavor that has had kind of slow stewing and that moment to kind of intensify in terms of the flavor. But I've kind of cheated a little bit and looked to something like mushrooms, where you're looking to chestnut mushrooms getting that really sort of nutty fragrancy, that nutty sort of meaty flavor, and you know, use that as the base flavor. And my one trick, and throughout the book, which I'm obsessed with at the moment, is mushrooms, because you, if you pan fry them, and I think everyone goes in, throws mushrooms in the pan and then flicks them around, doesn't give it the chance to kind of brown off and really kind of evoke those nutty flavors that is so gorgeous that comes with mushrooms. But when you combine that with the cauliflower, with the mushrooms that have been browned, then you add some rosemary, and rosemary is the key ingredient here. Like, it's there's herbs like that that are powerhouses of flavor. So when you base that down and you add a little bit of chili flakes, a little bit of garlic, and you actually get something that, of course, it's not your traditional bolognese, but it's something that is something quite interesting and intriguing in terms of flavor, and something that's, for me, quite exciting, because I know that, you know, it's good for you and it's all the good ingredients. Not that bolognese isn't, but I think, you know, when we're looking towards more veg heavy recipes, something like this is a simple way of evoking lots of that comfort food that you would get from, or those comfort food elements that you would get from a bolognese, and combining it with something like a chickpea pasta or even regular pasta, you'll still have a great meal at the end of it.
It's really interesting, because we're looking for, you call them hacks, you know, it's like it's tips, isn't it? Those sort of things. I remember Irini Georgioglou, who's this year's MasterChef champion, she said, we were talking about how you'd cook something traditional, like a Christmas meal or something, for vegans, and she said chestnut mushrooms. And it's those little tips, once you've tried that, actually you're absolutely right, and you can slow cook them. That's where the flavour comes from.
I only learned this recently. I was filming with America's Test Kitchen, who are, as I don't know if you've heard of them, but one of their things is to kind of really test ingredients to their limits, test equipment to the limits, and we were filming with one of their test editors, Dan Souza, and he was kind of showcasing the differences between mushrooms, because they come from a different kingdom in terms of the ingredients, and he was showcasing it in the sense that you would steam a piece of meat, a piece of squash and a mushroom at the same time. You can do it for like 45 minutes, and of course with the meat it turns into this god awful grey substance that's not edible at all. The squash goes to nothing, but the mushroom after 45 minutes still holds its shape and is actually quite tasty, which I was amazed at. It's something I've never done before, but you know, as an ingredient, there are, throughout the book, there are those sorts of ingredients that, you know, you look at differently, and can you treat it in a different way to evoke a different end result? And I feel like I've gone on about mushrooms quite a bit now, but it is that element of like being able to kind of put it in the pan and going, okay, how can we look at this in a very different way? And that idea of kind of letting them really brown and crisp at the bottom of the pan just brings another profile to the flavour of a dish that you might not have kind of got before. So I think with all the recipes in the book, like, yes, it's 30 minutes down, you know, in the kitchen. Yes, it's 10 ingredients or less. But I don't want that just to be the novelty of the book.
Well, yes. I mean, the last book was about super quick recipes, wasn't it? And meals in minutes.
Yes.
And this is superfood in minutes. Mm-hmm. And it is about health, and it is about health of the planet.
Yes.
And that's why we're kind of really concentrating here for a moment on the vegan stuff and the vegetarian stuff, but particularly vegan, because I think that a lot of people are really interested in it but just don't know how to do it. So the easy red lentil don, now that's been sitting in my fridge for the last 2 days.
Right.
It is sensational.
Is it still going?
It's getting better as well.
Yeah.
Now, how authentic is putting coconut milk with it?
I mean, the thing about my recipes are I have the ability, and because, you know, this is not an Indian recipe book, we have the opportunity to cheat ever so slightly. And I think in a day and age where, you know, people like someone like Jamie Oliver is getting raked over the coals for making jerk rice and things like that, there has to be some movement and ability to kind of use coconut milk in a dal, you know. But I think there, for me, again, it comes back to flavour, and it comes back to what I have in the house. And like, this is where authenticity kind of has to make way a little bit for the convenience of the home cook and the kitchen that has only that amount of ingredients or whatever the case may be. So I think in that sense, you know, I have no shame in the fact that I might add something that might be slightly inauthentic, in the fact that I can get dinner to the table and everyone will eat and be quite happy. And not only that, but you'll have something that tastes fantastic too. So as much as it might be inauthentic, you know, it still has that substance to it. And you know, something like a red lentil dal, like you said, it's still sitting in the fridge about 2 to 3 days yeah. later. Still, it actually gets better, improves with flavour. Things like that are the ones that I get most excited about, because I have to confess that, like, I would say the majority of our meals, beyond the ones that we would cook fresh, are like leftover. A meze of leftovers is what is what happens in our house, you know. Because you have, you know, and if you put that baseline effort, my go-to thing in the morning now, because my son is hungry from the, like this morning, I checked on the camera, we have this camera, and I'm in London, and I knew he was awake because it notified me on my phone. And I looked on the camera and he was stood up looking in the camera going, pointing at his tongue, saying, "I'm hungry." So I was like, oh God. And that's the pressure I live with on a daily basis. So the minute he wakes up, he needs food. So my trick now is I get him into the kitchen with me and I'll put the porridge on, but I'll also chop an onion and I'll also like put on rice in a pot or anything that you can kind of get ahead with, you know, in terms of making life a little bit easier along the lines. And like a dal is a perfect example yeah. of that. All the ingredients go in one pot. You let it cook out. You let the red lentils kind of dissolve into this oozing, beautiful, plumping, spicy mix. And I think that's the sort of recipe that home cooks should reach for when they are in need of something quick cooking and something that will last in the fridge. So as inauthentic as my dal might be, I can promise you, you'll get dinner to the table in a short amount of time with really powerful flavour. So,
well, you know, there's a lot of things there, aren't there? I mean, first of all, I'm totally with you on that authenticity issue. I mean, you know, the joy of British and Irish food yeah. is that we have a, you know, a food culture which we've kind of made up. You know, it comes from all over the place yeah. and recipes are supposed to travel. So that's my take.
I would completely agree. Yes.
But I love that picture that you paint of little Noah, you know, probably on his little chair.
Yes.
Up at
the
worktop.
A recent purchase, yeah. Because him sitting on the surface top means that he sticks his hands into the malt and salt and into the black pepper. And I'm like, oh, my God.
But the thing about porridge is that it also is much better for a slow simmer,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
So while you're doing that 10, 15, 20 minute porridge, yeah. you can get a dal on.
Absolutely.
Because it takes, what, a couple of minutes?
Yes, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, chop up an onion and...
This is it.
You know,
my friend, she's the editor of one of Martha Stewart's magazines, and she has a hashtag called Sarah Before Seven, and I love that because it's that idea of, like, what can you do in that hour or that, like, 30 minutes or 20 minutes you have in the kitchen, you know, before the day kicks off, that you can just whack into the oven or, you know, roast off a load of veggies or things like that that just make life a little bit easier down the
I
line.
I imagine that a lot of non-morning people will be going,
I'm sure they're going with this guy.
Oh
yeah,
my Lord.
They've switched off at this point.
But you are saying in the book quite clearly, you know, you have a lot of energy in the morning,
yes.
and you're doing all that cooking anyway, so that's the time to do it.
Yeah, but it's not a full meal. Like, you don't have to focus on a full meal. It's the idea of getting the bones of a recipe that will save you time in the long
yeah.
run. That's what I would really focus
yeah,
on.
Yeah,
yeah,
no, absolutely. Take me through some other key ingredients. Tofu. We last night did that wonderful one again with the cauliflower.
Yes.
Where you fry a firm tofu mm-hmm. off in corn flour.
Yeah.
And then teriyaki.
Yes. See, I have a love-hate relationship with tofu, specifically because I didn't really know how to cook it before about a year and a half ago. And I always kind of looked at it as one of those ingredients that you throw in to replace for any vegetarian meal. And it was a nice kind of quick fix, which I've done, probably not to great success, but about a year and a half ago I kind of spent a bit of time going, okay, we need to nail tofu, because I feel like it's one of those ingredients, it's so accessible now, like where it used to be, I mean 10 or 15 years ago it was kind of hard to track down and it wouldn't be stocked in supermarkets, but now it's there, and something like a firm tofu, it can give you the most beautiful results, and learning to kind of like squeeze the liquid out of it, making sure that it's as dry as possible
yeah.
will give you that kind of crispy result. So like it is like it's is it the General Tso's tofu stir fry, like that I actually my good pal Ching Hee Wang, she introduced me to that recipe, and I love the idea of taking something that's so classically made with chicken and actually producing something that tastes really, I suppose you wouldn't even notice
no,
that
you
it's
wouldn't.
Not there.
That's the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I might just say that Ching is also in this series.
Is she? Oh, yes, hello, she Ching.
So it's those kind of things that actually
cost virtually nothing as well. They're good for the planet. Absolutely. It's good for your health as well, isn't it? Just to kind of leave the meat out
this
of it.
This is it. And I think, you know, I look at superfood and I think, you know, anyone who picks up the book will see superfoods on the first thing. And I would say for me, it's not necessarily superfoods in the sense of chia seeds and quinoa and, you know, coconut oil and things like that. That's not what it's about. For me, superfoods is bumping up as much veggie content as possible. So there's cream, there's butter, there's things that, like, as food lovers, we use, you know, and I think we have great respect for those ingredients, despite, you know, some of the unhealthy aspects of them. I think if you combine that with ingredients like, you know, like there's a kale cacio pepe in there. And, you know, I've just added kale to the recipe, but it's still looking towards that classic cacio pepe recipe, which is just so simplistic, but so flavorful. Like, I think it's five ingredients or less. And the idea of just adding kale to it is, you know, kale has that one. I mean, any brassica has that sort of wonderful kind of meaty, smoky sort of flavor that, you know, you can eke out in the cooking process. Yeah. And I think for me, those are the sorts of recipes that I get excited about, because it's not, you know, you're not having to kind of replace, you know, you're not having, like, we're standing in this beautiful kitchen with all these fantastic spices and pieces of equipment, so you're not having to reinvent how you use your kitchen. For me, it's more focus on trying to include the good stuff as much as possible. And I mean, one thing in the book, like, we've tried to include, you know, this dal, for example, has the three portions of veg, and I like the idea that, you know, you're ticking that box for the day. So for me, it's always been about balance, and I think any food lover, you know, tries to strive for that, because who doesn't love a bit of butter and cream and all the good stuff, you know?
Exactly. How's Noah with his veg?
He's great. Oh, like, I feel like I'm going to get slapped by mothers and fathers who get annoyed at their children for not eating, but he's absolutely fantastic. Long may it last, because I'm sure it's going to change at some point. But he, I mean, yes, the day before I left, we make smoothies and porridge are our tend to be like our go-to. Smoothies, porridges and pancakes we do in the mornings. And he will literally, from a bag of spinach, he will put his whole hand in and take a fist of spinach, baby spinach leaves, and eat them, which I think is, would you do that? I don't think I would either, you know. So he does this, and to be honest, I do believe that it's including him in the kitchen from that age has been really intriguing. Moreover, to keep his hands busy, because I think that's one thing that, you know, any parent knows in the kitchen. If they're not at your level, that they're not seeing what's happening, they're just going to be pulling at your leg, being miserable. So my trick has been to put him up on the stool beside me, and I'll give him little jobs like putting pasta into a bowl, or, you know, things that he'll occupy himself with while I actually I'm able to crack on with things. So in that process, I will always hand him what I'm chopping. So, like, he eats raw onion, he'll have the end of the carrot that's going in the bin, you know. And I love that idea that he's kind of just touching and feeling things. We did a lot of baby-led weaning when he was coming onto solids, and it's been a really as a cook, you know, and as a food lover, you kind of see it through new eyes, and I've really enjoyed that process. And it's actually dictated quite a lot of the recipes in the book, because you look to the things that we can all sit down for dinner. I have no time for making baby foods and, you know, little things like that. I mean, fine, my wife is quite good on you know, like little kind of date bars and things like that, but when I'm cooking dinner, I want everyone to kind of sit down and eat it. So that, I think, one family, one meal, that's the idea.
Give us an example of one of those meals that has been actually inspired by your family sitting down together.
Well, there's an all the greens one pot pasta. One of my infamous YouTube videos on my YouTube channel is Martha Stewart's one pan pasta, and specifically because, and speaking of inauthenticity, the Italians have gone wild. I mean, I've been called everything under the sun by by Italians, who are completely put out by this idea of this one pot cooking method for pasta. But it works a treat, and anyone who doubts it, try it once and you will be a convert. It's so simple to do, but I've given it a kind of a revisit with lots of greens and a little bit of cream, and it's a lovely kind of way of bumping up the greens into a pasta dish that's very simple to start with. Noah ploughed through that only recently, and we were doing, as to promote the book, we've been doing quite a lot of these live cooking demos, and so Noah sits kind of watching in the background as this is going on, and of course, as soon as the food arrives, ploughs through it. So that's a really good example. And I think, you know, like, it's looking to the foods that we're excited about eating, you know. And I do think if you're involved in that stage of it, like, even when I'd have him sitting on the counter or sitting by the counter with me, when he's tasted things, when he's tried things, when it actually comes down to the dinner table, I do find that he's more intrigued by what we've made rather than kind of just out of the blue food arriving in front of him. So I've been quite excited about that process, and like I said, long may it last, because I have this terrible fear he's going to turn two and go, no, I'm done.
But why would would he? Because, you know, possibly the real answer to how to get people to eat is to delight them, is to get it to be such fun and to be so passionate about it. That's where the fun is. That's where the life is. And he sees that with you.
I hope so.
Big smile on your face.
I try.
Why wouldn't he?
No, it's good. It's good. And even like he's obsessed with trying, the textures of things. Mm. So like he loves putting his hands in like the bowl of rice or pasta and frozen peas. He will eat frozen peas from the bag, which I find hilarious, you know, it's like, and treats them as like a snack. So his go-to thing actually is to whine at me till I open the freezer drawer so he can stick his hand into something. But anyway, I hope it bodes well for his eating habits in later life.
I'm sure it will.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
After the short break, we'll hear Donal's meal planning philosophy, including a fail-safe guide to batch cooking, shopping lists, and unpacking for the couch slouch.
You're a very practical person. And last time we talked a lot about your Tupperware fixation.
Oh, I love Tupperware,
yes. You do. Now, at the beginning of the book, you lay out the meal planning mindset. Mm-hmm. It is the philosophy of Donald Skean.
It is the philosophy of Donald Skean. It's a tweaked philosophy of Donald Skean. Because when Donald Skean... stop talking about myself in third person. You started that. I would say when I first started meal planning and meal prepping and things like that, I was a bit obsessive about it. And I think I have that personality. I have a bit of perfectionism in me that I kind of have to, you know, quell a little bit from time to time. So when I started meal planning, I did snacks, breakfast, lunch, dinner, the snacks after dinner, all that sort of stuff. So I would say that is absolute madness. And if you are considering meal planning at all, it's to whittle it down to just 5 key dinners. And if you can whittle it down to 5 key dinners, I would say that you actually end up with enough leftovers. And having done quite a lot of meal planning and meal prepping and eating, obviously, the results of it, you do notice that you are left with this, you know, fridge filled with leftovers and things that can be kind of transformed for a lunchtime that, you know, you pop on some pasta or rice or quinoa or whatever it might be, that you can then combine whatever leftovers are with, or you know, and then having like jars of tahini yogurt dressing or something like that, you can kind of bump it up and make it exciting again. But I suppose my plan of attack is generally to choose 5 core recipes that will see us through the week. And it comes from I suppose some element of anxiety to kind of opening the presses, and I'm sure everyone has that moment of like you've come home from busy day work, or the last thing you want to do is cook, and then you kind of go, oh, there's no bloody ingredients, I don't even know where to start. So even though I work in food, I've found myself in that position plenty of times, and I think meal planning has saved a lot of that, you know, in the sense of being able to kind of just do that little preparation is actually kind of, it quells that little bit of anxiety, and it quells that kind of, or it gives you the opportunity to kind of succeed. And I always hear that saying of your future self will thank you, and I think in this particular situation, especially if you love food as we both do, it is that idea of like having the access to the ingredients as you need them. So I think that's one side of it. I mean, I would always say say there's a few prongs to my approach. And so the meal prepping is one thing, and that's the starting point. So once you've kind of chosen your five meals and you know what you're going to cook, it's the shopping list next. And I grew up, one of the first jobs I ever had was with my aunt, who was a food stylist, and she taught me how to shop in the supermarket, like you should properly shop. And so her list, well it's actually laid out here perfectly, where you see you lay it out the way your supermarket is laid out.
So you're going down the
first aisle, vegetables and fruit, next aisle over to the butcher counter or store cupboard ingredients down the center, and stuff that are in the fridge. So I'll always lay it out in those four different sections. It saves you darting around the supermarket left and right, and keep things quite consistent and very easy. So I would say that once you've got your shopping list, that's the other side of it, and we've laid it out just to show you how I do it. But then it's the unpacking, because I think I certainly suffer from the idea of, like, I've finally got myself out of the shops, I've done the shopping list, I'm exhausted by this stage. And then you get in and you kind of like lay on the couch and go, oh, I'll put them away in a minute. But I always say now, because I certainly was a victim of that slouch on the couch moment, but I would say my best kind of, when I put my best foot forward, it is that idea of like unpacking with purpose, and taking the ingredients, and, you know, if I can fill the sink with cold water, bung in whatever veggies I have, stick them in to give them a quick wash, prep one or two of them, like chop some onions, do whatever in that moment when you've come in from the shops, if you can manage it. I'm sure there's people going rolling their eyes, but I do try, and it does help, you know.
But it's also a nice family moment.
Exactly.
If you have got a family, that's the bit where all the kids can, you know, come in and help put stuff away.
Dried goods can go away.
And recycle all the plastic.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is the thing, you know, I think if you have that idea, because like, the meal plan is great, the shopping list is fantastic, but if you get back to the kitchen and you don't have it laid out, it's another stumbling block.
Yeah.
And my, you know, I've always said I'm in service to the home cook. I have always been writing recipes for home cooks, so trying to figure out how to make it easier to remove any stumbling blocks that will get you into the kitchen. And I know it sounds, for anyone who does cook regularly, this might sound, you know, arbitrary, but it definitely, it is these stumbling blocks that prevent most home cooks from getting into the kitchen. So. Really, it's all about preparation. And so that little moment where you step back into the kitchen and you have a chance to kind of prepare in advance, that really makes a difference. And I also use that time, if I have it, to prep anything. Like, as I've said, you know, put on a pot of rice that can be then, you know, cooked, cooled, and then put in the fridge, or pasta that can be made up in advance. I actually, funny enough, the cacio pepe I mentioned, which really should be made, you know, to order as you go, but I actually made it with leftover pasta recently, and it's a really simple way of like combining, or to reinvigorate sorry looking pasta from the fridge, you know, with just a little bit of black peppercorns and butter. I know that's not authentic, but a little bit of butter goes a long way. Some of that and just a little bit of water, and you bring it together in this unctuous, spiky, peppery sauce that envelops this, silkily envelops this, you know, miserable looking pasta to become something completely different and exciting. So I think it is that idea of whatever leftovers, whatever things you can bring to the table and have made in advance, that really makes a big difference for any busy family. And I mean, this is, I feel like this is my ninth cookbook, and I feel like we've kind of honed in on what it is for a home cook to really kind of
nail it.
Yeah. I like to think I have, but I think, you know, I always find it's really intriguing to get the feedback. And, you know, one of the things that people loved in Meals and Minutes, the previous book, was that idea of getting ahead in advance and looking at your plan of attack to the kitchen. So because I think one thing most new parents come to the realization is that it actually becomes a military operation. You know, you have to, like, there's moments where I'm like, you tear your hair out and you go, why did I not just do that little job that would have saved me time? And so it's definitely that side of things that has pushed me to kind of writing these sorts of recipes. And beyond that, I would say, is that the recipes then kind of are supposed helping you along the way. So you've done all that kind of groundwork, but then the recipes themselves are quite simple. You know, there's 10 ingredients or less, and they shouldn't take you more than 30 minutes. If they do, it's fine. This isn't a competition, but they are designed to be simplest. And they are designed to be still full of flavour and still deliver you. Because one thing I find when I get feedback from cooks who are new at it and have gone to the effort of learning, buying the ingredients, learning how to make the recipe, and if you don't have that big boast of flavour at the end of it, it's just a bit miserable, it's a bit boring, and you know, it kind of doesn't inspire you to get back into the kitchen and do more. So every recipe in this book, I've tried to eke out as much flavour with, you know, there's a recipe I cooked this morning, A very simple chipotle bean stew with prawns. And again, it's that little jar of chipotle paste, which is this smoky powerhouse. Not necessarily spicy, but adds this kind of powerhouse of flavour to a jar or a tin of tomatoes, a tin of beans, and then some fresh prawns. You finish it off with an avocado lime salsa, and it's just booming with flavour. It's really exciting. You
know? It is that store cupboard, isn't it? It's always been the store cupboard. But the store cupboard has actually changed. We are much more diverse with our store cupboards now.
Well, we wouldn't have been talking about chipotle paste, I think.
No, exactly.
10 or 15 years ago.
No, absolutely. And I wonder how much you've changed since you've been living over in America. You've been there, what, 4 years? Mm-hmm. How much has it changed your cooking on a day-to-day basis?
I have to be honest, it's actually more of a... Living there is more of a challenge to my home cooking because we have so many options in terms of food, and we live really close to Thai Town, we live really close to Little Ethiopia, Armenian, there's an amazing Armenian community very close to us, and you go east of where we live and you're into the San Gabriel Valley, which is some of the most incredible Asian food you'll ever come across, you know, dim sum restaurants and some fantastic stuff. So I would say it's the biggest challenge, moving there has been the biggest challenge, because I obviously as a food lover want to constantly, you know, see what's out there and try new things. But I would say in terms of I think you have to be more mindful of the ingredients you're buying when you're in America, because there is, you know, GMOs, there's all this sort of stuff that we're, you know, we obviously have been taught very well in the UK and Ireland how to kind of avoid. And so, you know, organic, you just like, it's just basic stuff like that, though. I would be a lot more mindful of, you know, the ingredients I'm buying over there than I certainly would have been back home, you know, where we go down to our local butcher and know that we're getting quality stuff. That's not to say that I think you should still be mindful here, because I think there's plenty of, you know, bad food stories. But I think from that perspective, you know, when I do cook, I try and cook with the best quality ingredients I can afford, and making sure that, you know, we're including the best of stuff in the diet, because it does then allow you to go off and have the most amazing Korean barbecue meal if you so wish on a Friday night or something like that. So again, it's balanced, but I would say, you know, I would see Los Angeles as the forefront of quite a lot of food trends. And, you know, as we all know, food trends come and go, and it's intriguing to see the ones that last and the ones that kind of keep coming back. And
what?
Oh my goodness, like adaptogens is probably one of the big things that I see, you know, that you can get these mushroom coffees, and there's chaga mushroom and lion's mane. So you take these in your coffee and your tea, and they are meant to amplify your brain function and all these sorts of things. And I have used them, and actually, you know, when I was writing the book, I was on mushroom coffee half the bloody time. Yeah, maybe that's why it's so obsessive about certain things. But that idea of, you know, of kind of stepping into that world of food trends and trying to eke out the ones that are actually relevant to someone who really loves their food, it's an important thing to do. I mean, I don't know if you remember the Sorted Food guys who have a YouTube channel. They were over recently, and we were trying some of the crazy Los Angeles food trends, and we tried some incredible ghee, which, like, a little jar of ghee which had about 75 different ingredients, like moringa and, you know, all these kind of nutrient dense ingredients included in it. And it was about $35 or something ridiculous. And, like, so, you know, that's the sort of stuff where I'm just like, no, that's just come on, like, this is ridiculous. You know, you can clarify butter so easily, and, you know, I have moringa powder, but, like, I'm not going to pay $35 for a Thai shop. So it's trying to kind of look to the things that are, I think LA is like that in general. Like, if you're invited to nude yoga, probably don't go, or, you know, these kind of ridiculous, like, goat yoga and these crazy kind of things that, you know, LA allows for. I mean, it's a city of 14 million people, so it allows for, you know, a little bit of madness that can be indulged, which I'm all for. I'm very open.
I have seen goat yoga on Facebook, but there may be some people who haven't. Just explain.
Goat yoga, basically, you are in your full yoga poses and then a goat walks on your back. I mean, what else would goat yoga be?
So come on then, what have you seen in LA that you think is the next big thing in British cooking?
Oh my goodness, that's an incredibly difficult question to ask. I think it's so wide and varying, but I would say there's two places that I would kind of go to in terms of inspiration for food trends. The first is, it's kind of like the next level Whole Foods. It's called, a place called Erewhon. And most of these kind of, you know, food products that kind of take off and you will eventually kind of will trickle down to, you know, Ireland and the UK tend to come from a place like this, where someone's got the great idea based on the fermented hot sauce they saw, or the kefir that is so great for your digestion, or something like that. So I would see a lot of things come through a store like that. And then there's really, you know, intriguing restaurants. There's one that I really really love over there, which is on the in Echo Park, called Honey High. And their menu is quite intriguing because it has that sort of holistic approach. You know, it still has meat on their menus, but it's the best quantity meat. And of course, you pay the nose to eat there. But it's not too bad, you know. And I think most of the dishes are around like $10 or $15. But, you know, it's looking to those sorts of restaurants. They have a really great range of smoothies that are filled with like powerhouse ingredients. And I really enjoy that side of things. And, you know, if you can kind of touch on it, but also kind of come back to real, real hearty home cooking as well, I think that's, for me, has always been trying to find that balance. But I can't pinpoint one specific ingredient that I would see. Maybe the mushroom coffee, I think I started seeing making its way over here, so maybe that's the next frontier.
And if you want to buy Donal's book Superfood in Minutes, do visit hive.co.uk and use the discount code delicious10 to get your 10% off. And don't forget to listen to all the podcast episodes at deliciousmagazine.co.uk/stories/podcasts. I'll be back next week with Bake Off 2018 finalist Kim Joy, who takes me into her inner fantasy world. I'll see you then.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.